Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
This is a bummer weekend. Number one, my team Penn State lost, and don't everybody here cheer. Number two, we got snow, and I guess I'm Christian now. I know what it looks like. And number three, we're really going to miss our good friends, Mary and Mike, when they leave. And I just pray that God refreshes them as they're in Arizona in the sun, as jealous as we'll be, and that God's face will smile upon them and bring them back soon. Because Mike the Energizer Bunny is necessary to this church. You know, it's kind of tragic that many in today's society claim to have a relationship with God or believe in God, but their lives just don't seem to change. Do you know people like that? They tell you, yes, they believe God is real to them, but they just don't show it. You know, they seem to wear a church face on Sunday when they go, and then the rest of the week, it's a different type of individual. Somebody you just don't believe was the same person you met on Sunday. I don't say that lightly, because at one time in my life, I was one of those people. I wore that mask. I lived two lives. It wasn't until God became real to me that I was able to shed one and be consistent in the other. Being real is not easy. It takes openness. It takes vulnerability. And above all, the ability to turn yourself over, completely over, to the love of God. And thank you, Joni, for talking about experiencing God. Because that's where the real person that you are comes out. But what does it mean to be real? How do you get your arms around this? What does it mean to be real as a Christian and as a believer? I think the best explanation of being real comes from the gospel, The Velveteen Rabbit. I don't know. Does anybody remember this book when they were young, The Velveteen Rabbit? Good, there are a few. Well, it's a children's book. And it talks about a rabbit that wants to become real. He wants to become real, and he seeks counsel in another stuffed animal called the skin horse. And the skin horse is an older, wiser, more mature stuffed animal that has weathered the storm of the children playing with them and throwing them around and hugging them. And he knows what being real is all about. So let me read from The Velveteen Rabbit as it relates to the rabbit asking the skin horse, what is real? What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you're made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt, though. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You just become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off. See that? And your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all. Because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. Today's sermon is part one of a two-part series called Being Real, or the other name I have for it is Taking a Bunny Trail to See Your True Selves. I've adapted a series from a book called The Velveteen Principles that was written by Tony D'Antonio. And this Sunday, I would like to review the six principles of the Velveteen Principles, and not just the book, but how it applies biblically to our lives. Now, our scripture reading comes from Romans 7:15 and Philippians 3:12-14. So please go to that in your Bibles or in your pew Bible. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. Again, Romans 7, verse 15. And then we'll slip over to Philippians 12-14. But before we do this, I want you to greet your neighbor and say howdy do and say it's time to be real as we study God's Word. Go ahead and do that. Howdy do. Come on, guys, back there. Come on, you can say it. How you guys doing? One of these days I'm going to preach from the back of the church again like I did once so that you guys can get the full flavor of the preaching. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. And also, let's go to Philippians 3, verse 12-14. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you in this quietness of the snow and the quietness of this of a Sunday morning. We do in our own hearts want to be real, real to you and real to all those around us. Dear Lord, teach us. Teach us how to be real. Lord, personally, I just ask for your presence here today, that you will use me as a vessel, that you will use me as an instrument to help teach what real means in the biblical sense. Please, Lord, open our hearts and open our minds to your word and to your principles. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Being real. You know, point number one as a Christian, being real is possible. I know it sounds to many of us so hard, but it is possible. I remember a story where a young man named Tommy was in class, and the teacher said, "What does everyone want to be when they grow up?" Of course, hands went up, and people said, "Engineer, lawyer, mechanic, electrician," all those names. Everybody spoke up except for Tommy. So the teacher went up to Tommy and said, "Tommy, I'm sorry you're quiet. What do you want to be when you grow up? And Tommy says,
possible.
And the teacher says, possible? What do you mean like, what do you mean by that? He said, well, every day my mom is telling me that I'm impossible. So when I get big, I want to be possible. I love Paul when he says, you know, I do what I don't want to do, and what I do want to do, I don't do. That's being real. That's understanding that. It's understanding that you are unreal, and we do pretend a lot. And in that unreal statement, he became real. Does that make sense to you? In that statement to say, I'm tired of pretending. I can't do this. He became real. That's no different than us. We deal with things each and every day. We say, how do we do this in a Christian way? How do we do this Christian walk? What I need to do, I don't do. And Lord, how do I do this stuff? Well, we all know that when we put things in His hands, He takes us to that next level. But we struggle with that. We do. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible. The book that I read said, the value of being real then explores what's in the heart. And biblically, the heart can be deceitfully wicked, or you can have a heart after God like David, which pleases the Father. So it is possible as we step out and we have this heart towards God. It's that heart emotion that makes everything possible. It's a response to God's love for us that makes our walk possible. Being real is trading in your mask. You know, the ones that covers our inadequacy and our flaws. And basically being who you are in Christ and knowing, I'm okay. I don't need that mask because He knows me. Christ Himself says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Principle number one, so our Christian walk is possible. Point number two, being real in our Christian walk is a process. A lot of us, when we first came to Christ, we thought, okay, I've arrived. Until we found out that a walk with Christ is a process. Maturing in the faith is a process. Being real does not happen overnight. If the Bible tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does that tell you? It tells us that we have a growing process. I love it how Philippians puts it, written by Paul, that not that I have attained, and he's talking about Christ-likeness, not that I have attained it or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Velveteen Rabbit, it says, you know, it doesn't happen all at once. Being real doesn't happen all at once. You just become. Paul is saying, I got to be focused. I got to keep my mind on the mark. And I know it's a process. I got to put one foot in front of the other and be focused on the mark. Here's what John Davey says, a rector of a local church. He says, the church doesn't need to fabricate holiness. It needs to seek holiness. Holiness is not where we arrive. It's where we are going. It's where we are going. So for all of you that have come to Christ recently, you know, holiness is not instantaneous. But it's a process. It's a growing and maturing with a real God. Just to pursue that prize. Just to be there. Just to be Christ-like. And when we do pursue that, we will be refined as gold is refined. You know how gold is refined? It is melted, put through the fire at the highest amount of temperature so all the impurities can come to the top and be taken off. That's a process we go through as Christians. We will be tested, but we will grow through those tests. And we will be put in the fire many, many times. But we will be refined and hopefully be purified each and every day. That's called sanctification. You know, big words, but sanctification is no more than walking the way God has made us to walk and maturing in our faith. That's all it is. When Paul says, practice these things, what does that tell you? Practice these things, he said. Practice those things that are above. Look at those things. It tells us that not any of us have arrived. That a Christian walk takes practice. Practice in going to the throne of God each and every day. Practice of obeying Him and where He leads us. Practice in prayer. Practice in study. So like Paul, let's keep our minds forward and on the mark and understand that being real in our Christian walk will be a process. Number three, being real as a Christian is emotional. Listen what the Velveteen Rabbit says. That night and for many nights after, the Velveteen Rabbit slept in the boy's bed. At first he found it rather uncomfortable, for the boy hugged him very tight. And he sometimes pushed him under the pillow that the rabbit could hardly breathe. Being real can be uncomfortable because you're bearing your soul to God and to others. It's not easy for some of us guys to get hugged, is it? We were never taught that. We were never taught that type of emotion. We were taught that real men don't cry. Well, real Christian men cry. Real Christian men have hearts after God. Real Christian men see through the eyes of Christ, and they hurt for the world, and they hurt for the people. Shortest verse in the Bible. Is John 11:35, shortest verse of the Bible. And that is, Jesus wept. That's our model. Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. He wept over the pain of Mary and Martha. You see, real is emotional. Getting love and being loved unconditionally sometimes pushes you to come out of your comfort zone and love others. And that can be very emotional. Point four. Real Christianity cares and is empathetic. What's empathy? Empathy is the identification of oneself with another and the resulting capacity to feel or experience sensations, emotions, or thoughts similar to those being experienced by the other. It's no different than saying, I feel your pain and meaning it. Think about that. That's what empathy is. When you walk in somebody else's shoes, being real is to have empathy. And who's our model again but Jesus Christ? Listen to what we read in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We have a model of empathy in Jesus Christ. A high priest understands where we are and how we're tempted and how sometimes we become unreal. How hard it is then sometimes for us to relate to others with patience and understanding. You know, the Velveteen Rabbit discovered the skin horse was really honest and not ashamed of his imperfect self. If you read the story, it says the mechanical toys were very superior and they looked down on everyone else. Between them, all the poor little rabbit was made to feel very insignificant and commonplace, and the only one who was kind to him at all was a skin horse. Being real is empathy. Being real is finding other people that want to be real and to walk them through it and to lead them to Christ. Real is courageous. Whoever said that this Christian walk isn't without fear and trepidation? Whoever says that we won't be criticized for us being holy rollers, I guess is a phrase, or fundamentalists, or those that just believe the Bible and have a relationship with God? Real is courageous. We do have to experience hate against us because we serve a living God. The unreal people will hate us. They will. It will be a challenge. Being real will also cause changes in our lives. Paul says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And as we take this real walk, there definitely will be some challenges with neighbors and friends and certainly family too. But being real in Christ does not require you to live without fear. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, Paul says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. I was with you in fear and much trembling, and my messages were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Even Paul himself came out to preach the word in fear and with much trembling, but then with the confidence that he had the power of God in his life to speak the words and speak persuasive words to him. The Velveteen Principle notes that too many of us are sidelined in our faith by the inordinate fear of failure, as if falling short is somehow disgraceful. But you gotta love Paul when he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So real can be courageous, and we don't have to fear if someone calls our names out. I think the Bible says tells us to agree with our adversaries quickly. So if someone comes at you and says, I know you, you used to do this. You can say, yes, I did, but I'm saved by grace. Yes, I was that way. I apologize if I ever hurt you, but now I'm a different person. You know, sometimes failure leads to growth, and courage comes from experience. Just think about Jesus, who was mocked, abandoned, rejected, and discouraged. The good news is those that know you are real. Those that know that you love Jesus Christ, have a relationship with him, they'll admire your uniqueness. And they'll say something's different about that person. And they might even ask you, what is this inside you that makes you so real? Point six is real Christians must be honest. You know, I love the Skin Horse and the Velveteen Rabbit, and sometimes I feel like him, and, you know, flawed and a bit scarred up and not too sensitive about my appearance. Losing hair. That's from raising kids, and every time they do something wrong, you feel like that. So, but you know, the Skin Horse always affirms that although life has left him somewhat tattered, that these imperfections are what makes him unique and interesting. And sometimes being honest with yourself is a difficult thing to be. You know, we often live in this world of perfection and doing things right and being flawless. I must say I'm honored to be your pastor. I need to be honest with you. I am no theological whiz. If you ask me to name all 66 books of the Bible, I'll guarantee you I'll come up short. If you ask me all the Ten Commandments, I'll get close. But I might omit one or two. I'm not perfect, but the key is I do serve a perfect God. And if you're looking for a perfect church, this might not be the place for you because I'm here. And some of us have flaws and baggage that we bring here with us. But one thing is sure. We attempt to be real. We attempt to study God's word. We won't settle for mediocrity. We will give our best to our Lord. Think about these things. Think about being real. Because it's important, especially in today's churches where there's not much realness. And why do we want to be real? Why is it important? Rector John Davies says this: we must understand that when people look at the church and see only imposters, they conclude that Jesus is an imposter. But when they see followers of Jesus who are real, they see a Jesus who is real. With that being said, at least you know the first six principles of being real. Mike, I'm sorry you're not going to hear the other six. But just remember, real is possible through our personal relationship with the Almighty God that loves us. That loves us as much as that little boy loved the Velveteen Rabbit. Real is a process. Real is a process of us walking with that intimate walk with Jesus Christ and growing and being matured by Him and by the mistakes that we make and the screw-ups that we make. Real is emotional. It's time for us to be vulnerable and get this junk out of our lives and say, even cry out to God saying, I can't do this. I mean, if Paul can cry out to God and say that, why can't we? Real is being empathetic, having empathy for our fellow man, having a heart for someone else, looking at people through Christ's eyes and not our own. Real is courageous. Don't ever think this Christian walk is easy. You'll always have people challenging you, questioning you, mocking you. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have it made. It's courageous. And real is honest. Like Paul says, I'll never attain it. I'll just never attain Christ-likeness as much as I try. I'll just never do it. But I will be focused on the mark. I'll be focused on being real. I'll be focused on my God and explaining who He is. I will be focused in prayer. I will be focused in Bible study. We're never going to be perfect. But the fact of the matter is, we serve a perfect God. So we end the sermon just as we began, and that's going back to the Velveteen Rabbit. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. God's unconditional love. God's unconditional love that sustains us. That tells us we're okay. That tells us we'll never be ugly again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much. We come before You just asking to help us to keep our eyes on the mark. We come to You asking, dear Lord, that You assist us in being vulnerable and be open to You and to be open to others. That we throw away that mask, that we run after You. That we understand how much You love us. We understand that unconditional love. We understand Your embrace and we don't shy away from it. And we accept it. Dear Lord, help us to be what You want us to be. Help us not to be hypocrites. Help us to step forward for You. And Jesus Christ, that loved us so much that as we were yet sinners, He died for us. It's not that we loved Him, that He loved us. It's that He loved us first and gave Himself up for us for our sins. Now that's love. Today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm asking any of you out there whether you're ready to be real with Christ. Is there anybody out there that has not made a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ? Is there anybody out there that's tired of the world and the mask they have to wear that wants a walk with a true and living God? All you need to do is to say, I repent of my sin, Jesus, and I accept You as my personal Savior. And you turn away from that sin, you run towards Him and say, make me real. I need a hug. I need that love that passes all understanding. If there's anybody who has heard this message for the first time, or at least a salvation call for the first time, and want to accept Christ as their personal Savior, I say now is the time. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking you to make that commitment, to raise your hand and say, I want this relationship with Almighty God. I'm asking you today, just put your hand up and put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that they love me in spite of all my flaws. And I thank you that I can love them in spite of what few flaws they have. So with that, Lord, we lift this church up to you. We lift these men that have come to know you today for the first time. We ask that you just continually work in their lives to make them real. And with that, Lord, we put all of our petitions at the foot of your cross. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.